day. Welcome to the Fasting Highway Podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 113. And just before I get to today's guest, I just wanted to give a shout out to the Fasting Highway Facebook community. If you do want to get some support with your intermittent fasting or learn about it or get started and you have a few questions, then come and join us there. We've got some of the most experienced fasters in the world in that group, and it's growing quite rapidly. So that's the Fasting Highway Facebook group where you'll get some support. Also, if you are enjoying these podcast episodes and the stories, you may enjoy my own story in the written verse that's in my book, The Fasting Highway. You can find that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Also, if you are in Australia, you can find that also at the website, www.thefastinghighway.com. Okay, let's get on to today's exciting guest. And I'm really delighted today to be joined by Jackie McCoy. And Jackie is from sunny South Florida in the United States, and she's been married 17 years to her amazing husband and is currently a stay-at-home mum to three young daughters. And Jackie was put on her first diet by a doctor at just 11 years of age. And throughout her life, she had a few trials and tribulations with her weight and even led her to a reality TV show, which she'll tell us about in this podcast. So I'll let Jackie inform you more about the story. So here she is. Welcome, Jackie. Oh, g'day, Jackie, and welcome to the Fasting Highway. And thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so delighted to be here. Your story has inspired me, and I love hearing what you have to say.
Oh, thank you. And I'm sure everybody's going to love to hear what you've got to say as well. But Jackie, for those people around the world listening to the Fasting Highway in some 43 countries around the world, and a big shout out to all our listeners, if you wouldn't mind just giving us a bit of your backstory and sort of any problems you had with weight and health in your life and where you ended up here at with intermittent fasting.
Okay. It's kind of a long story, but I'm going to actually start at the beginning. So I was probably a very normal child. But at a certain point, I went to a doctor's appointment where they told my mom that I was overweight. I was probably the most slightly overweight. And as you'll kind of can tell as we talk, I really don't put as much stock into like this very specific weight that somebody needs to be. I think if you're, you know, active and well and feeling good and all your other health markers are good, weight is not that important. And I really wish the doctor hadn't said anything to my mom at all, because that's when I went on my first diet. And for me, when I was going through all of this in my childhood, I didn't see it then, but looking back on it, I really think that dieting was the trigger to weight gain, which sounds funny, but I'm sure that it can resonate with a lot of people, because that started me on this very long cycle of being on and off diets, which led to like a binge restrict cycle. I don't know if anyone's talked in those specific terms, but I would be dieting, so I'd be restricting, and then I would be off the diet and I'd be binging. And so I would lose 5 pounds and then gain 10 pounds and then lose 5 pounds and then gain 20 pounds. And so even though I started maybe only a tiny bit overweight according to medical standards, by the time I got to high school, I had gained quite a bit of weight. And I think probably by my my sophomore, junior year of high school, I was over 200 pounds for the first time. And no matter what I did, I truly tried almost every diet that I've ever heard anyone mention. I had cut out carbs and I had cut out I had fat. I had done really low calorie. I had done some prescriptions from the doctor. I had done a lot of the, you know, big name brand diets. I had done shakes. And no matter what I did, I always ended up bigger over time, even if it worked short term. So this created a lot of self-esteem issues. It created a lot of, I didn't have any trust in my body. I felt broken. I just really didn't know what to do because I had tried all the things, but I internalized that it was all my fault and that I just had this like big flaw and I didn't understand it all, but it must be me. I must be just a broken person. So by the time I graduated college, because basically what I had decided at a certain point, I still went on diets off and on, but I was like, you know what? This is who I am. I'm the big girl. And I still have a lot of wonderful things in my life. I had, you know, amazing friends, amazing family. So I'm just going to enjoy life for what it is. But by the time I graduated college, I had hit 300 for the first time or really close to it. So I was concerned because it's one thing if you get to a certain weight and kind of stay there, but I just kept getting bigger. And when I was, you know, lighter, still overweight by medical standards, but when I was lighter, I wasn't really having any problems. But the bigger I got, the more I wasn't able to participate in life the way I wanted to. And I was still really young. I was in my 20s and, you know, my friends would be going hiking and I lagged behind, couldn't do the things that I wanted to do with them. I still didn't have any medical problems yet, thank God. But I just wasn't able to do the things I felt like I should be able to do. And it made me really sad. I met my husband in my early 20s and we got married. And I just kind of coasted through life in the same way, though. I enjoyed the things that I could enjoy. I was still held back in a lot of ways by my weight, but I just felt defeated. I didn't start to really try to figure out how I could lose weight again until I went to a doctor's appointment. My husband and I had been trying to have a baby and it wasn't happening. And I knew that I had some hormonal issues just from past testing, but we did some deeper level testing and the doctor basically said, you know, you're probably going to need some fertility treatments to be able to start a family, but you don't even qualify for fertility treatments unless you lose at least 100 pounds. And the chances of you losing 100 pounds on your own is slim to none. So you probably should sign up for weight loss surgery. And I was very depressed. I was scared. I was sad because I was willing to like accept that there were certain parts of my life that were going to be affected by my weight and just embrace the other parts. But I was not willing to accept that I wasn't able to start a family. Starting a family was super important to me. I have an amazing relationship with my family. I was in love with my husband and we just wanted to create, you know, a life together. So this was something I felt like I had to do something about. I personally was not comfortable with having weight loss surgery. And the biggest reason for me was I knew that my greatest reason for weight loss was to have a baby. And to build a baby, you need a lot of nutrients. And I was worried about how a lot of people were having nutrient deficiencies from the surgery. I also saw that many people had the weight loss surgery and that wasn't the ticket either. Like maybe they lost the weight initially, but they still struggled later on and regained the weight. So I did not take advice on surgery, but I still didn't know what I should do. And around this time, this is the part of my story that I think is just a little bit crazy. My mom had heard that they were doing this new weight loss reality TV show. I had always watched The Biggest Loser. And to me, somebody who struggled, it looked like they went on this ranch and they figured out how to, you know, lose the weight. And it was like this magic fairy dust. And then they went on their way happily. So the people who were producing this new show, it was the same people who made Biggest Loser, but it was a new show for people who had at least 200 pounds to lose, and they were going to document it for 1 year. And my mom wanted me to audition, and I thought that was crazy. But I'm not like a TV person. Like the thought of my life being on TV for all to see was terrifying. But I also knew that I really, really wanted to have a baby, and my choices were limited. So I tried out, and somehow, of all the people, I did get picked. And I felt so incredibly lucky. And I just knew in my heart that this was going to be the thing that made all my dreams come true. And without getting into too much detail, I was very successful on this show. So for 1 year, I exercised a ton. And when I say a ton, I mean 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. We did cardio mostly with like an hour of weights. And they radically changed my diet for sure. But I was eating incredibly low calorie. So, I mean, that is going to work. But, and so I guess in 1 year, I lost 207 pounds. So I did meet the goal of the show. But the thing that was really sad for me is that I had lost all this weight. I was now the smallest I'd ever been as an adult. And according to medical charts, I was like at the perfect weight for my height. But when I was at my biggest, I felt like I was living in a prison in my body. And in my at my smallest, it felt very similar. I mean, I did not feel well. People would even say like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. And I would think to myself, why don't I feel amazing? This cannot be what healthy feels like. I thought that losing weight automatically meant that I would be healthier. And I now know that that is not the case. I mean, you could lose weight eating like 1,000 calories of cookies and you're not going to feel awesome. And at the end of the day, I now know that I was malnourished. That was a huge caloric deficit. And some of the things that I learned over the way after trying to figure out what had happened to me is, you know, your hormones get messed up. Like after I was done losing the weight, I had new hormonal issues. I was constantly starving. So I was still in a binge restrict cycle. I was desperate not to regain all the weight because I had also done this publicly and I didn't want the world to see me fail. I also wanted to have a baby still. So I would like under eat, over exercise still, even when the show was over. But then about every 10 days, I would like binge for 2 days. And the other thing that I realized is under eating makes you feel terrible and overeating makes you feel terrible. Both things, one of them made me lethargic and because I was hungry, and the other one made me lethargic because I was overly full. And of course, when you binge, you usually don't pick nourishing foods. Like I was picking chips and cookies, things that I just could eat really fast. So I was miserable. It was affecting my marriage because my husband couldn't really understand what I was going through. He loved me really so much, but I couldn't even articulate. And I also felt so much shame. I didn't want to tell him, you know, all the things that were going on. And so I also went to the doctor, and because there were some different things hormonally that happened. So originally they had told me I had something called PCOS. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's pretty common. And then afterwards, my cycle still hadn't regulated. And so I went to the doctor and I was like, well, I'm supposed to be healthy now. And he's like, well, actually you have this new hormonal imbalance called hypothalamic amenorrhea. And they said, usually people get it who are anorexic. And I thought that was funny because I was supposed to be like the perfect weight for my height. I was definitely not underweight. But the doctor said, oh, well, it can also just happen from, you know, under eating and over exercising for an incredibly long period of time. So truly, my body wasn't happy in either state. And I was frustrated. Oh, and they told me I still wasn't able to have kids at that point because of new issues that I had. So I was also sad because that was supposed to be the whole point. So I spent a couple years after that trying really hard to find what healthy was. Intermittent fasting had been something that people had talked to me about, but because of everything I had been through, to me it sounded ridiculous. I didn't even actually look all the way into it. I was just like, oh, people think it's like a good way for you to just lower your overall calories. I already know how to do that. I also had been sort of highly influenced by the show because the show had talked to us about like eating, basically we were supposed to eat 5 mini meals a day. So we were eating a little bit all the time. And So anyways, it didn't sound healthy to me. I rejected it completely. But what I did go down, which I'm eternally grateful for, is intuitive eating. So I decided that I was going to try really hard to nourish my body well. I also dabbled in paleo a little bit because what I found is, you know, of course, whole real foods made me feel good and less processed foods, you know, made me feel good too. So I did an intuitive eating / paleo approach. My weight gain stopped. So I had gained weight after the show, but I stopped gaining weight once I finally started practicing intuitive eating and paleo-ish. And I started to try to exercise more moderately. I went to therapy, which I think therapy can be good for everyone, but it was an eating disorder therapist. And we talked about how also like exercise is supposed to be enjoyable. And I was at a place where exercise was only about a calorie burn. So if I couldn't burn as many calories as possible, I felt defeated. And I started to try to exercise for joy. If I was going to go on a hike, if I didn't feel like going any faster, then I didn't. I just enjoyed the hike. If I wanted to do something for 20 minutes, then I did. If I wanted to do it for an hour and 20 minutes, that's great too. But I was basically in a long process to trust my body again and to listen to my body, which was incredibly healing for me. And the most amazing part of the story to me is that during this time, I got pregnant on my own. And my body just started doing the right thing. So I was so elated. So I had a baby girl in 2014, a baby girl in 2017, and a baby girl in 2019. So I have three daughters. And during this time, I was even more, I had even more resolve that I needed to never diet again. Because I never wanted my children to be caught in that either. I didn't want them to be afraid of cake on their birthday. I didn't want them to be worried about food and calories and their body constantly. I didn't want them to be at war with their body. So I, during that time of being pregnant, I mean, I was pregnant or nursing a baby basically from 2014 until 2020. And in the summer of 2020, my daughter was about to wean from breastfeeding, and I was just trying to think about what I should do next. Because although I had been nourishing myself, I felt like something was missing, and I wasn't feeling amazing in my body. But I also wasn't ever going to diet again. And somehow, an article came up about the health benefits of intermittent fasting. And the way the article was written, I wish I remembered which one it was. The way it was written was really not about weight, because so many things are all weight centered, and a lot of things are just, you know, trying to prey on people's insecurities. But this one was really written about health benefits, and health is incredibly fascinating to me. I mean, health is everything. I want health for myself, for my daughters, for my parents, for my husband. And so when I read this article, I was like, maybe I should look into intermittent fasting again, because I think that there is something more to it than I saw the first time. So I've always been somebody that was big on self-experimentation. And so as soon as my daughter was done, I think a week later after I read that article, my daughter was done breastfeeding. And I said, okay, I'm going to for 30 days do intermittent fasting and see how I feel. But I'm going to commit to 30 days because you can never tell after just a little while. I mean, there's an adjustment period to everything. So my husband, of course, he's always watching me do all these things. And I hadn't read anything from like Jen Stevens yet. I hadn't read Jason Fung yet. I hadn't read your book. I hadn't read anything yet. I had just read this one article. So unfortunately, the first 30 days, I did not clean fast. But I can tell you that even not clean fasting, even not knowing what I was doing, after the first 30 days, I felt better. I was like, you know what? I feel good. I'm going to do it 30 more days. And I think in week five, so like the first week into my next 30 days, I found Jen Stevens and I read her book. And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be drinking cream in my coffee. And I'm not supposed to, because I also would drink like a couple sips of oh my gosh, I just forgot the name of it, but the like a probiotic beverage that didn't have very many calories, but of course it had calories in it. But whatever I had read initially had said something about like if it was less than 20 calories an hour or something, it was something ridiculous that you could still have it. And I didn't know any better. But as soon as I learned about clean fasting, I was like, oh, well, this is my new experiment. I'm going to try the next month clean fasting. And just like everyone says, that next month was so much easier. And then I felt even better. And I just kept extending it. And then one day I woke up, I probably about 6 months in, and I was like, I am pretty sure I'm going to intermittent fast for the rest of my life. And I have never done anything that sounded so hard, but ended up so natural and easy. And I feel like I didn't have to force my body. Anything else I ever did for weight loss, and truly this wasn't for weight loss, but I did end up losing a very good chunk of weight. But everything else I did, I felt like I had to force my body into doing something. And this is the first thing that I felt like I just did it. And then my body took care of the rest. I mean, I never counted a calorie the whole time. During my eating window, I didn't cut out any food groups. I did focus on nourishing foods because that's what makes me feel good. But I also had taco nights, and I also had, you know, desserts. And I always would be shocked when the weight would go down because I was like, wow, I didn't deprive myself of anything. I just kept fasting and it just kept happening. So that's my story, I mean, so far.
Yeah, that's a fantastic story, I got to tell you. But that why initially that you wanted to have the baby, and you lost that weight, and your mum come up with the idea to go onto the show. I just wanted to talk about that show for a minute, because a lot of us that have been obese in the past have seen these types of shows on TV, these reality weight loss shows. But when you actually do it, is it something where they really, like it's mentioned there that you're flogging yourself with the exercise every day, you are eating very low calorie. Is it very controlling? Like, do they get upset if you're not losing a certain amount of weight in a week? Or how does it all work? Like, how do they almost live with you for that year? Or what goes on?
Those are really interesting questions. So on The Biggest Loser, it's more controlled as far as like you're in an environment. But in my show, it was supposed to be more documentary style. So they told you everything that you should do, and they did come in and live with you for a short bit of time. And sometimes they took you out to California to like a little boot camp. But I would say 80% of the time I was on my own with their set of instructions. They did hire a personal trainer for each person who was on this specific show. And that trainer would, you know, tell you what you should do. But it's interesting because my personality type is a rule follower. So I did everything that they told me to do to a T. And actually later on, one of the people said, you know, hardly anyone does everything that we say. So we usually tell you to do a little bit more than we want you to do because we assume that you might like cut some corners. But I would be on that treadmill. If they told me to do 5 hours that day, my husband would be like, Jackie, you are so tired. Just go to bed. And I'd be like, I have 18 minutes, 30 seconds left. And so I did all the exercise, and I would say that my weight loss journey went the way that they wanted it to. But some of my friends that didn't, yeah, I mean, they're mad at you, and it again depends on your personality type, how much you take it to heart. But if your weigh-in didn't go well, they were not happy and they made you feel terrible. And I think anybody who struggled with their weight knows that sometimes you do all the right things and the scale doesn't show what you expect. And if that happened, a lot of times you were painted out to be a liar, and it was rough. And I had a lot of anxiety that year, but I don't regret it because it did help me get to the place that I am today. And I do have to say, in case anyone knows of the show, that the head personal trainer, Chris Powell, he actually is a wonderful human being. And I know that he was trying really hard to help us in the best way he knew how at the time. I just wanted to give that disclaimer because I have no ill feelings, and he is a wonderful person.
Yeah, I guess at the end of the day, I mean, you lost 200 pounds at the end of it, and
you know, and you got the result into your body, and then you moved on and did a few other things, and you're able to have those children. And congratulations, by the way, on the three girls. That's fantastic. And you're very busy there, three in very short space of time. And I think that's fantastic. And yeah, I mean, I'm sort of a half glass full type of guy, but those shows really, we have one here in Australia that's similar. And I just can't watch it because I feel like they really shame the people that are on there, and then they get them and they put them in this house and they control what they're eating. Well, so you don't know that because you only see bits and bobs of what's happening. And then they always do these flashbacks to these same people sitting around eating pizzas, and they show these tables of all the food they ate in a week. And you just think that's, you know, really intrusive and quite, it is shaming what I thought. And then I thought, well, they're just flogging them with exercise. But what happens when they leave that house? I know they probably give them programs to do afterwards. You probably got a program to do afterwards as well. But mostly, we know here in Australia that 90% of those people that have been on that show regain the weight, if not more. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll ask you a straight question, being a person that was on those shows. Would you recommend a person that had a lot of weight to lose to go on them?
No. And I've talked to tons of people since, and I think that it would be hard for it to make sense to you if you have a lot of weight to lose, though, unless you've actually been through it. But in seeing what they did, it is so most of the people on all the weight loss reality shows in America also regain almost all the weight, or maybe even more, just like any other. It's kind of like a very long crash diet. And I do think that have you read The Biggest Loser study? That I know that Jen Stevens has talked about it, and Jason Fung. So I mean, The Biggest Loser study told me so much, because that came out like a year or two after I was done with the show. And I was actually really depressed when I read it, because it kind of made sense why I was struggling so hard to keep the weight off. But when you do something like that to your body, if you have this huge, extreme caloric deficit day after day, it hurts your metabolism, which is why any dieting hurts you. But this is like extreme, extreme dieting. And so partially why you gain weight after the show is because your metabolism isn't working properly. And then the second reason you gain weight after the show is because, you know, your ghrelin, your hunger hormone is ramped up, because your body probably thinks like you're dying because you have this like very long famine. And then your leptin goes way down. So when you think, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry all the time, well, you really are. And you can only fight those like primal hunger cues. Like, it's one thing to have like emotional hunger, or, you know, there's all these different kinds of hunger. But when it's true hormonal hunger, your body is telling you to eat, it's incredibly difficult to ignore it. And you might be able to ignore it for a little while, but the longer you ignore it, also the worse it gets. Because then your hormones, even like your body's like, oh, you're not listening to the ghrelin, let's pump some more. And so the other person who really helped me understand that is when I read Jason Fung's book. I was like, oh my goodness, all of this makes sense, to where I was truly fighting my own body and I wanted to work with my body instead. And I think that's what happened with intermittent fasting. But everything that we did on the show, I would never recommend, because some people are like, tell me exactly what you did to lose 207 pounds. I want to do it like you did. And I tell them, please don't, because it gives you this whole new set of problems. And then when everything goes badly, the people just blame themselves, when truly you were set up for failure. I am still actually amazed that this is the way that most people are still advised to lose weight, is just exercise a bunch more, eat a bunch less. That works short term. You do it long term, it never works. And actually, you are telling your body to not only regain the weight, but regain more, because your hormones are telling you to do it. It's really sad, because I keep seeing people do it the same way. And I didn't find freedom until I did it a completely different way.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, even that Biggest Loser show you talked about, just the name really makes my skin crawl, because it sort of insinuates that there's some sort of loser and they're on the show, and, you know, and they go on there. And I know the media here really gets stuck into the contestants when they do regain the weight. They show pictures of them eating hamburgers and that sort of stuff. And then all the trolls come out on social media. And some of these people have come off the show, they've had amazing success, they've put out things like cookbooks, or they've written books, then all of a sudden they've regained 150 pounds and before you know it. And then everybody's going, oh, you know, we all knew you were going to do that, because you can't come out. Because the thing is, 6 hours of exercise a day is a lot. And I mean, especially if you might be working or something, that's pretty hard to do, 6 hours of exercise and that low calorie of eating. And I just think that that's why intermittent fasting just blows that away. So, yeah, I'm with you. I would say to anybody that asks me, don't even think about it because, yeah, you're going to go down the wrong rabbit hole there. But let's get back to the fasting now. So you came along and you started. You mentioned here you were dirty fasting at the start because you didn't know any better. And that's a lot of us were probably in that boat too, unless we read about it first. And then you made that switch once you read Jin's book. And then you said there that you noticed some differences, the fasting became easier. Because I know a lot of people that do put cream in their coffee and that sort of thing, they actually white knuckle to their window because their body thinks food's coming and all of a sudden they think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to get something. And then they start really white knuckling. Did you have some of those struggles when you were dirty fasting?
I did. I felt better when I was fasting, even dirty fasting, but I sometimes did get a little bit shaky, like towards when I was getting close to the eating window. And then of course, I remembered the name of what I was drinking, kombucha. I was drinking kombucha. And then I would take like a couple sips of kombucha and it would take it away a little bit. But then of course, an hour later, I would be shaky again. So overall, I felt great fasting. Well, I wasn't really fasting, but I thought I was. But as soon as I was really afraid of black coffee because I had been somebody that really, it's one thing to take out the, because I always used stevia in my coffee. So I wasn't drinking sugar, but, and I didn't need it sweet. I just needed it creamy, in my opinion. And so I had never had black coffee a day in my entire life. And I remember I wrote a post in one of the groups and I was like, well, maybe I should just reduce my creamer every day by like a little bit. And everyone was like, just rip off the Band-Aid, just go for it. And I was like, oh, but black coffee is so yucky. And it was amazing because number one, I only thought black coffee was gross for like 1 week. And then my taste buds changed like that fast. I was like, okay, it's still not as good to me as creamy coffee, but it's not gross. It's fine. Like it was fine. And I liked it. And today, like almost 19 months later, I actually really like black coffee. But the thing is I was skeptical. I'm always skeptical. I always like to prove things to myself. And so I read everything about clean fasting and I read why it was better. And of course, because autophagy was really important to me, because the health benefits excited me more than anything, I realized why, you know, creamer or kombucha could be stopping the autophagy part. So that's what really got me to try the clean fasting. I didn't really believe it would be very much easier, but I was completely wrong because I felt like when I was clean fasting, like I had some sort of fasting superpower because I felt just steady energy and I didn't get hangry anymore. Like I would say, probably maybe once every 3 or 4 weeks, I might have a hungry day. I don't know if you ever have hungry days where you're like, oh, weird, I'm hungry today more than usual. So maybe I'll open early. But I would say most of the time, I felt like even when it was time to eat, like I felt pretty darn good and I could not believe it. And so I would tell people, I'd be like, no, I never feel bad. I could eat, but I don't need to eat the way that I needed to eat before when I was dirty fasting and definitely the way that I needed to eat when I was eating all day long. Because I did want to say, when I was eating all day long, I was trying to figure it out. And even though I was eating like nourishing foods and I was trying to listen to my body, the first thing that I ate was like 6 a.m. in the morning when I would wake up, I would like drink, you know, coffee with cream. And because I liked to eat my dinner after I put all my children to bed, because I was, you know, trying to have a little bit of time alone, I probably didn't eat dinner till late. So I would eat from 6 in the morning until like 9 p.m. at night. So my eating window was like 14 hours a day, which now that I know everything I know about insulin and hormones, I mean, that right there was making it to where my body couldn't do its best.
Yeah, really get that. And so with your fasting hours, what were they? What was your protocol and why did you choose that at the start?
Well, my first protocol was just to try for 16-8. 16-8 was so easy for me really fast that I probably only did 16-8 for like the first 3 days. And then it naturally went to 24. And then After the first month, I was just like reading everything that I could read, which is how I came across your story too. I just wanted to read all the real life stories. I wanted to read all the everything that everyone had to say about it. And I read something about metabolic adaptation. And I thought about how, I mean, I truly thought that I might be so metabolically broken that I couldn't fix myself anyways because of everything that I had done with my dieting history. And when I read about metabolic adaptation and about how that might make me a candidate for alternate daily fasting, I was a little bit sad because I did not want to do ADF. I have nothing against it, but because of like some eating disordered past and because of the show, like I really wanted to make sure that I was able to eat every day if I wanted to. But I read this plan that that said that some people switch around their eating window. And so what I decided to do is that I wanted to eat every day, but I didn't want to stick with the exact same pattern so my body could adapt to it. I wanted to see what my body would do naturally. So I started probably around week 7 or 8 doing a series of longer and shorter fasts. And I've been doing that ever since. So truly since about, I think week 8 until now, which I'm 19 months in, I now twice a week have a morning window of about between 1 and 4 hours. It depends on the day. Twice a week, I have a midday window. And then twice a week, I have an evening window. And then once a week, I have like probably like a 24-hour fast. So basically, I go from like 16 hours to 30 hours to 20 hours to 30 hours to 16 hours. So I'm constantly kind of changing it. And that has worked incredibly well for me. And I know that some people have said that they only can work with one window. But what I've noticed is whether I eat breakfast or lunch or dinner, it doesn't matter as long as I eat to satiety. The only times I've ever struggled is if, like, say I was rushing and I needed to get the kids somewhere, so I didn't really get to eat fully to satiety and then I closed my window. Those days I've struggled. But since I've learned that I need to just really listen, make sure I get enough of all the nutrients, it doesn't matter which meal I eat. I feel great for a long time until I eat the next meal. So that has worked amazingly well for me. And I highly encourage anyone that doesn't want to do alternate day fasting, but thinks that maybe they need something to help them with metabolic adaptation. It has worked incredibly well for me. And it also helps with social life because I switch my week up however I want to. So if there's like a brunch at my daughter's school and I want to participate, then I do. And if my husband wants to take me on a date and we're not going to go out until 7 p.m., then I switch my window to there and it hasn't been a problem for me.
Love it. Love it. Absolutely love it. And I really agree with what you said. And I guess I'm probably heading that way too and maintaining now. I guess I've become more of an intuitive eater for sure and listening to my body and my true hunger signals. And it might be different times of the day. So it's not a certain set time every day and they change. And it's really important to know when you're living this lifestyle, if you do have events like a date night with your husband or whatever it may be, or kids at school need an event, then you can switch it around. And I really love that, how you're adapting in that cycle and you're moving it around. You're keeping your body guessing as well, of course. And obviously you're heading into maintaining, or we are in maintenance mode now. And so that's a different mindset, I feel, compared to the weight loss. And so how do you find that, or are you there yet, or what's happening with the maintaining side of things?
Somehow, so far, I've still just continued to do what I have been doing, and that's because I feel really good doing it. And we already talked about this a little bit. Every once in a while, I have a day where I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling extra hungry, so I'm going to eat two meals, or like I'm going to eat a longer window. But I mean, the whole way I've had between like a 1 and 4 hour window, I think that like every once in a while I do a 6 hour. My body's happy. So I don't feel any need to change. Like, I think there's a chance I might lose a couple more pounds or I might stay exactly here. But unless my body tells me that I need to change something, I have listened to my body the entire way. I mean, there were days where I ate so much, I thought for sure, I was like, gosh, but I'm still hungry. But I was like, well, if my body's still saying I'm hungry, I'm going to eat more. And then, of course, sometimes I have days where I'm like, wow, I only ate the amount I would have eaten at a regular meal like if I was eating all three meals a day, like I ate a really, it wasn't that much, but my body has told me that I'm good. And so I feel like maintenance for me personally, because it's been such a blessing to truly get in tune with my body during this process, that if I'm going to need to eat more food to maintain a body weight that my body is happy at, then it's going to tell me and I'm going to eat more food. And if I need to eat less food, then I'm going to eat less food. So I really haven't thought about it as like maintenance or even weight loss mode, because for me, just taking care of my body led to the weight loss. And I feel like continuing to take care of my body will probably just keep me in maintenance. I think the only thing I ever think about derailing me is if I ever got back into a pattern of using food in for comfort. Because truly the only times that I've ever thought about not like eating inside my window, because eating in my window feels so good. And like not eating in my window also feels really good. I feel amazing when I'm fasted and I feel good when I eat, but like fasting also, you know, makes me happy. But sometimes there's been some big stressors in my life. And for some reason, I was just like, oh, I wish I could eat XYZ. And usually it's like sugar, because that's, I guess, what I think is going to make me feel better. But I have to remind myself that it never does make me feel better, that it might take the edge off for a little while, but long term, it's actually just going to make me unhappy and unwell. But that's really the only thing that I ever am slightly concerned about, because it has been something that I did in the past, was use food in an emotional way. But besides that, I feel like it's kind of like magical after so many years of counting calories or fat grams or protein grams or all these things to just be like, my body knows what it needs. And then it always does. Sometimes I crave a ton of protein and sometimes I crave a little bit less. Sometimes I'm craving strawberries. Like I eat according to what my body tells me. And then of course I haven't, just like you said earlier, I've flexed it around my family's lifestyle though. I have not missed a thing. The only things that I have not participated in are things that I really didn't want to, because sometimes there's an event and you don't want to eat there because maybe the food isn't window worthy, or maybe you're just really not hungry. You're just not. But anything I wanted to participate in, any food I wanted to eat, I went for it. So I feel like I'm just going to be living life exactly the same way, like for the rest of my life.
Jackie, let's talk about the eating window now. I mean, obviously, a lot of people like to know that. They like the ins and outs of sort of what we're eating. So when you started intermittent fasting, were you eating all the things? Were you delaying anything? Or was there something that you weren't doing with your eating window? Give us a picture of what that looked like.
So when I first started, I really wanted to just keep eating the way I was eating so I could just see how the change of intermittent fasting affected me. I also had already done a lot of work trying to figure out what foods made me feel my best. So I had already cut out things that I felt like didn't make me feel good, but I didn't have any specific restrictions at all. So I was eating all the things. The most important thing to me was that I did get nourishing foods in my window though. So I did prioritize a good protein source and vegetables because they make me feel good. But I like to tell people this, because you do not have to be perfect to have, because I feel like I had amazing success beyond what I thought would happen. But I did end up eating dessert. I think like, I tried to add it up the other day, I can't remember, but I would probably say 75% of the time over the last 19 months. Now, when I say dessert, some people might think, oh, she ate like 12 cookies. No, sometimes I ate like an ice cream sundae. Sometimes I ate a bowl of fruit with like whipped cream on it. Sometimes I ate dates and peanut butter. And sometimes I ate like a brownie. It just was always something different. And I know that everybody interacts with sugar differently because some people are anti-sugar. What I found for me is when I tried to restrict sugar in my past, all I ever wanted was dessert. Like dessert was my thing. For me personally, when I started allowing myself to have dessert any day that I want to, I have never binged on dessert since, because again, eating past fullness does not feel good. So I love dessert. It makes me happy, but it's also okay for me to just eat a little bit of it most of the time, because I don't want to eat past fullness because I want to feel good. I don't even have time not to feel good because I'm taking care of three little girls that have all the energy, so I can't be tired. So for me personally, actually including things like dessert and not making them forbidden anymore actually helped me eat less of them because they don't have any power over me now. Because if I want another cookie, I can eat it tomorrow. I don't need to eat all the cookies today because I'm going on a diet tomorrow, if that makes sense. So I really have eaten all the things, but I don't want that to make people think that I ate anything I wanted. I used to love how people were like, you can eat anything you want, but not anything you want. Like when they would say that, I always liked that because it's not this free for all. I still eat the foods that make me feel my best because nourishing your body is a part of your health. And that's why, you know, it's not calories that matter per se, but nutrients matter very much on whether you're going to feel good or not good. So that's kind of how I've eaten the whole way. And I think that's how I'm going to eat my whole life. But it's been so freeing because when I used to be on a diet, then there was like this whole list of foods I couldn't eat. And I was scared to go out to dinner and I was scared to go to a birthday party. And when I was off a diet, because I was, you know, had been restricted when I was on the diet, then I would eat way too much of all the fun foods. And both things stink. So intermittent fasting, again, that was part of my peace with food component, which really has been the greatest victory of all to me, is making peace with all the foods. I'm not afraid of them. Because at a certain point after the show, I was afraid of salt, sugar, fat, carbs. I basically was afraid of everything except for protein. So it's been so beautiful to be able to eat all the things and for nothing bad to happen. Because I always thought, you know, that my body just wouldn't know what to do with it. And it's been good.
Yeah, love it. And I think that's what that message, you can eat whatever you want, needs to be really dissected. And we did that three episodes back when I spoke with Jen Stevens. And Jen and I sat down and we busted that myth, because a lot of people, you know, attribute that saying to Jen. And Jen never really ever said you can eat whatever you want or it's a free license to an endless buffet intermittent fasting. That's just not what she meant at all in that context. What she means is you can eat whatever you want, but also you've got to eat whatever makes you feel your greatest as well. Because if you continually eat foods that don't make you feel good or they don't serve you well, then you're going to struggle with this. It's as simple as that. And I think all of us that intermittent fast over a period of time naturally gravitate towards higher quality foods anyway. I mean, some people I know, they say, when I started, I ate all the things. I, you know, take out 2-3 nights a week, and now I just don't want it. My taste buds have changed, and I'm the same. I mean, I'm a first-class food snob, hands up, no doubt about it. And I love good food and, you know, good quality food. But, you know, I'm also coming off a base that, as you know, reading my book, I was a sugar and fast food addict, and I know what those things did to me and how obese they made me, and through my own sort of lack of willpower and everything else and no discipline, and just got hooked on them. And I sort of feel like I was lied a bit too by the food industry over the years, because I always used to have things like low sugar, low fat foods you'd see in a supermarket and that. Does that frustrate you when you see that? You know full well if that's not true?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the food industry has a lot of lies. The diet industry has a lot of lies. There's so many things that are touted as healthy that are just full of chemicals. I mean, I remember for a while when I would eat, like in high school, I'd be like, but it's fat free. I don't understand, but it's fat free. And when I look back at those foods, I'm like, oh my goodness, they weren't even real foods. And so many people, if you ask them what a healthy recipe is, I found this out after the show because everyone was like, oh, Jackie's eating healthy. But when you would ask somebody what a healthy recipe is, most of the time it meant to them a low calorie recipe. And that is just not true. I can tell you a ton of things that are low calories that are also low nutrients, and they're not going to help your health at all. And unfortunately, because I was also caught in the calorie trap, I would eat a lot of things. Something that I ate that I definitely deeply regret is, for some reason, I used after the show, because again, we were trying to keep it as low as possible, I would use spray butter, which is not butter, and it's also not delicious, and it's also full of chemicals. And so when I think of like a healthy recipe, I think of, are we using real foods then it's a healthy recipe. Like, because there's all different kinds of macronutrients. You might need a lot more protein than me, or you might do really well. Even healthy foods, some of them that are considered healthy, maybe your body doesn't do well with them. You don't feel that good when you eat them. Even foods that are, I mean, there's a little boy in my daughter's class that's like allergic to strawberries, and strawberries are a healthy food, but not for him. So yeah, I think that there's so much also one size fits all. And that's why I think some people do need to abstain for sugar from sugar. I think that that helps them. For me, I didn't need to do that, but I needed the permission to eat all the things. But all the things, if I decided like, oh, my favorite food's pizza, I'm gonna eat pizza every night. Well, I'm not gonna feel very good. And my body's not gonna function very well, because food quality matters so much. And definitely, like, when you're eating, because I mostly eat one meal a day. I mean, most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, and that's all I want. But you do have to choose carefully, because if you're only eating one meal and it's not full of nutrients, then your body's going to be lacking. So it definitely does matter. But I found a lot of freedom just in the fact that when I make my food, I'm not worried about the calorie content. So I can add things that make my food taste yummy. So when I make veggies, I can use, you know, salt and butter and pepper, and I can use, you know, I don't know, all these extra things that I was afraid of because of their calories to make the food incredibly delicious. In fact, for a long time, I was only eating egg whites. And once I could even just use the whole egg and not be scared of it, I was like, oh, this is so much better. So whole foods are delicious, especially when we're not trying to make them low calorie, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I'm the same. If I eat once a day, it's got to be worthy. Simple as that. Not negotiable. You know, I've gone to restaurants, Jackie, and I've sat down and I've looked at the menu and I've just gone, no, I'm not eating here. There's just nothing here that's worthy of me eating. And I've gone to the next one because I'm just not doing that. Because if I'm only eating once a day, and like you say, you've got to be able to get all those nutrients in, dense, high-dense nutrients, all those vitamins and sort of thing, and make sure you are doing that. Because as you said, if you're eating, like, it's okay to think, well, hey, I want, you know, takeout every night of the week. I mean, some people do that, and we don't judge anybody for what they eat. I mean, if that's what you want to do, go for it. That's your life. But, you know, if you're feeling rubbish after you're doing it, then there's a reason why. So, yeah, try and have a think about your window. I think it's important. And sort of, you know, and that eat whatever you want message, just sort of bolt that down a bit into what it actually means. But, Jackie, let's talk about the non-scale victories now, the health benefits that come with intermittent fasting. I mean, obviously, you've been doing this for 19 months now. What are they like for you?
Well, I'm really, really blessed that I didn't have any very specific like health problems, but I just found a lot of different little things. But I would say that my biggest non-scale victories have been the ones that I hold the most dear, which is what I already mentioned about making peace with food in my body. I feel like I regained trust. Like, this is how it was supposed to be. When you're a little child, eating is not so complicated. If you're hungry, you eat food, and when you're not hungry, you stop. And somewhere it all got messed up for me because of dieting. And I feel like I got that peace back with food. I got my peace back with my body. I feel like I can trust my body. People are constantly telling me that my skin looks so good, and I do feel like my skin is better. I used to have dry skin a bunch of different places, and suddenly it's soft and nice again. I feel generally really great. This is what I was looking for the whole time when I was, you know, looking for healthy. And I was like, wow, I'm thinner now, but I'm not healthier. Now I know that this is the feeling I was looking for, because just generally I feel very good. I have good energy every single day. I feel like I'm a better mom. I'm actually so grateful that by the time I finally had kids, I was off, you know, dieting, because it would have been terrible to be hangry while I was trying to raise my children. But also, it's amazing to have the flexibility. You know, moms have busy days. And if I have like a crazy day where I don't even get to like sit down till 5 p.m., I have the energy to do that and to feel good the whole time and to be in a good mood. I think that's a huge, huge benefit. And that's why I tell people I feel like I have superpowers, because all these things that sounded so difficult actually are incredibly easy and make my life better So if I don't eat all day, I'm not suffering. And like you said, you went to a restaurant and you didn't order there because you didn't want to. Like when I'm not eating, it's not because I can't eat really. It's because I don't want to, because I feel my best when I only eat in my window. So, but my biggest benefits definitely are just feeling so good.
Yeah, I think it's a feeling of wellness, isn't it? That we get as we go on with intermittent fasting. And then when we're maintaining, it's the same. I mean, like you mentioned, you're basically doing the same thing to what you were doing at the start. And, you know, most days I do that too. I'm sort of roughly at 22 and 2 during the week. On the weekends, I do that 16 and 8. I loosen it up a bit more because I like to be able to do that for the social aspect of life, going and have brunch with my beautiful wife, you know, and meeting friends or something and doing something. And you've got to be able to do that with a flexible lifestyle. And I mean, that's why diets versus intermittent fasting. I mean, let's think about that. I mean, traditional diets, a lot of them do work in the fact that they'll get weight off you. But the problem is they're not sustainable. I mean, who wants to eat soup and cabbage for the rest of your life? Or who wants to do, you know, weigh things, or, you know, what you talked about there, write things down and disregard 90% of foods out there that you can't eat. So that's really challenging to do that all the time, every day. Whereas intermittent fasting, you wake up, you fast, you then have a feast and you eat to satiety, you stop. And then you do the same thing the next day. Nothing could be more simple in its process. But as we know, the mindset of intermittent fasting is totally different. I mean, you really have to be disciplined and focused and being able to do that every day. And that's not easy in itself. And a lot of people say, well, intermittent fasting is easy, but it does have some struggles sometimes, doesn't it, Jackie?
I think that it definitely can. I think if I hadn't had the benefits, the you know, non-scale benefits so fast, that maybe it would have been harder for me to stick to it. And I know that everybody's journey is different. Some people need more healing time before they start to feel it. And I do know that sometimes, I guess, I don't know, I have wanted to open my window early, but in general, for me, it has definitely been worth it. And I guess it isn't always easy, but I can say, and I don't want to discourage anyone if they're struggling, because there's a ton of different ways you might be struggling, and that is totally okay, because all of us are different. But even though this isn't necessarily easy, it actually is the easiest thing I have ever done, because I have done a lot of extreme dieting things. And I have never done something for 19 months straight and been happy doing it until now. I have done a lot of other things. I did keto, and I did, I don't know, Weight Watchers, and I tracked all the things, and I did a lot, all the exercise. But usually, by the time I did it for months and months and months, I was just like so done with it. And I'd be like, oh, if I have to see one more piece of bacon, like I'm done. Because of course, whatever you cut out, that's the thing you crave most. But so for me, although it's not always easy, there's this phrase that my husband and I always talk about. It's called discipline equals freedom. I don't know who first said it, but I feel like the discipline of just going through the process of making sure fasting is a priority feels like freedom to me. And it feels like freedom in my body. It feels freedom in the world. So it's totally worth it. So although it's not always easy, the effort is worth it, and it is truly the easiest thing I personally have ever done to maintain my health. And I can truly say that this far in, I am happily doing it.
Yeah, it certainly is for me as well. And I'll have to say, it's the simplest thing I've ever done. I mean, that's what I loved about it right from the word go. This is so simple. And it's, you know, how you do it. You just fast for a period of time. And then you're eating, and then you're stopping, and then you're eating again the next day. And so for me, that was just so easy. I didn't have to think about it. I just did it. And as long as you had the discipline and the willpower to work through your fast, keep that clean fast that we talked about, and then go into your eating window, work towards that being a worthy window. But as we mentioned before, we don't judge people for what they eat. I mean, you know, you eat what you crave or what you love, that's okay. But just remember, if you're not feeling great, well, you might want to examine that. You might have to delay something to get to your health goals. And with the dirty fasting, I always say to people, why would you let a beverage get in the way of your health goals? Why would you do that? A simple beverage, like putting cream in your coffee or having a soda or something while you're fasting. Just don't do that. Well, I mean, what's the point? Because you're either fasting or you're not. And I think you really covered off on that really well. But the last thing I wanted to talk about, Jackie, is if you were sitting down with some friends in a cafe and they were struggling a bit with their weight and they came to you for help and they asked you how to start, what would you tell them and what sort of words of advice would you give them?
I really encourage people to stop with the idea of trying to lose weight as fast as you can, because I've done it fast. And mostly that's what everybody's always looking for. My friends will always be like, oh my goodness, I'm about to be in a wedding. How can I lose 30 pounds in 12 weeks? Or how can I lose, I don't know, X amount of pounds as fast as I can? And I think if that is your mindset when you go into intermittent fasting, which is the traditional mindset, then you're going to be super disappointed. But you could either really, really suffer to lose weight as fast as possible, or you could just really trust the process of doing the intermittent fasting, and it might come off slower than you think. Although some months it came off faster and some months it came off slower, but there wasn't a suffering component. So even if the scale was up or down, I just continued to trust the process. I never changed, like I didn't say, oh my goodness, the scale was up this month, I'm going to only eat protein and veggies next fast. Like I didn't do that. There was no correcting. I encourage people to really start to try to pay close attention to their body signals, that your body is wiser than you think it is. And of course, in the beginning, your body isn't really usually functioning properly because of insulin resistance and because of different hormones that are not firing properly. But if you trust the fasting process, I mean, again, it is incredible how I have not counted one calorie, but somehow my body released 78 pounds in 18 months. Like that boggles my mind, because there was never one day I didn't eat until I wasn't hungry anymore. And when I would do traditional diets, I was hungry almost every time, you know, like I wouldn't eat, but then I would still be hungry. And so I just try to encourage people to not focus so much on pounds, because I think a lot of people who try intermittent fasting that quit and they're disappointed, it's based on that. And your body just needs a lot of time sometimes to get everything functioning properly, especially if it's been going wrong for a long time. But it is incredibly worth it. And even though it's a longer process, the process is just so much more enjoyable. And I hate to see people spinning their wheels in the same diet cycle that we know will not work long term and possibly won't even make you any healthier. So that's what I keep encouraging people to do. And luckily, some people in my life have hopped on, and I get excited for them when they do, because I know good things are coming.
Fantastic. Great words of advice there. I really appreciate it. And one thing I'd like to say is about not comparing yourself to others, of course, Jackie. And I mean, that's an important message out there, you know, not to compare yourself to myself or Jackie or anybody else. I mean, you're your own person. You're your own story. You're the experimental one. And I know that you just wanted to touch on that about comparison. So just tell us about how you feel about that comparison message.
Well, I know that, you know, during my time before intermittent fasting, even I was always comparing my body, my weight, my size. I mean, everything, even girls are even their beauty, but based on other people's stories. And so I really kind of part of my journey was to stop comparing and realizing that, yes, your body, your food, your size, your pounds, the journey, it's all your own. And don't let anybody steal your joy. So I stopped like giving very specific numbers because I feel like it can keep people from thinking that they are good enough. I feel like I've gotten to a wonderful place of healing with that, but comparison truly is the thief of joy. And we are all different. And I really think that you should embrace wherever you are. I think I remember at my very, very thinnest weight, somebody at the gym, she was a trainer who was trying to sell me something, but she was like, don't you want to buy XYZ because you can lose 15 more pounds by Christmas or something like that before the new year. And my little sister said, well, actually, Jackie already lost 207 pounds. And she goes, yeah, but what are you going to do about all the rest of it? And I remember being devastated. But it actually was such a beautiful time because what it taught me is somebody somewhere is always going to think that you're amazing, and somebody somewhere is always going to try to knock you down. And how you feel about yourself and your own journey is the most important thing. So yeah, that's where I am with comparison. I think it can take a lot away from the good, amazing journey that you're on.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that. But Jackie, I can't tell you what a pleasure it's been to have you here on my podcast today. Thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Jackie. That was an incredible insight into your journey. And thank you for all those pearls of wisdom that you gave throughout that podcast. Absolutely inspirational. And I really, really appreciate you coming on today. And I know that this podcast is going to resonate with people right around the world. And so thank you once again. And we look forward to talking to you in another 12 months' time or so to see where Jackie McCoy is up to then. Okay, thanks so much, Jackie. Talk soon. Okay, folks, and as we said in the intro there, if you really enjoy Jackie's story, you might enjoy my own too, which is in my book, The Fasting Highway, which you can get on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you're in Australia or New Zealand, you can get it direct on my website at www.thefastinghighway.com. But anyway, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.